And now it's time for your financial destination with Roger Hamilton, with strategies to enhance or improve your retirement income.
Hello, I'm Roger Hamilton, and welcome to the Financial Destination Show. So for the next 20 minutes, we'll go over some strategies, some ideas to share with you to help you improve your investments and to enhance your retirement income. You know, it's time. How important time is, how fast it goes, and with investments, there is no refund on lost time. Let's take the class of 1951, or in other words, those born in 1951. And yes, you were 71 in 2022. 50 years ago, back in the 70s, you were in your early 20s, and now 50 years later, in the early 20s, and you're in your 70s. And going into 2023, you know what that means? That January after your 71st birthday, your RSP converts to a RIF, a Registered Retirement Income Fund. And now those taxable withdrawals begin. And for those who turned 71 in 2022, by December, no more RSP contributions. Now maybe a spousal if your spouse is not yet 71, but by January, after all those years of contributing to your RSP, putting money in, that tax shelter growth, now it's officially retirement time, if not already. We'll talk about investment options in your RIF and how that can work in just a few minutes. But let's flash back for a bit on time itself. And boy, does time ever fly. Older people would tell me back in the 60s, you'll get old fast enough, boy. Well, they were right. I used to count off the days on a calendar when I was 14. 500 days. Couldn't wait till I got to be 16 to get my driver's license. Freedom 16. Ditch the old farm tractor, that convertible for a real car. That was a long time ago. And those were miles back then. Miles per hour, not kilometers. But there were many kilometers or miles have passed since then. The class of 1951, those born that year. Well, who else shares that same birth year as you? Born in 1951. Actors, Michael Keaton, Batman, from the hit movie of 1989. Mark Hamill, Luke Skywalker, is 71, from Star Wars, debuted in 1977. Kurt Russell's been in movies for years. Kurt Russell is 71. Richard Thomas, John Boy, from The Waltons, 71, no longer John Boy, he's now John, the older man. Sting, the lead singer of The Police, Every Breath You Take. Sting is 71 years of age, and now not the last breath you take. Bonnie Tyler, Closer Eclipse of the Heart. Both singers, Sting and Bonnie Tyler, 71, both with number one hits, 1 and 2, from 1983, 4 decades ago. And back in 1983, inflation and interest rates were higher then than they are now. Phil Collins is 71, in the air tonight. Linda Carter, Wonder Woman from the 70s, is now 71. Cheryl Ladd from Charlie's Angels, my personal favorite, Cheryl Ladd, 71. Kirstie Alley from Cheers, Rebecca Howe, is 71. And Jane Seymour, who never ages, is finally 71. For baseball, Dave Winfield, who just a few seasons ago was rounding third base, heading home for the Blue Jays in the World Series. Well, that World Series was 30 years ago, and Winfield was then on his last legs as a major leaguer. Not everybody makes it to 71, celebrity or not. Comedian and actor Robin Williams and race car legend Dale Earnhardt both would have been 71. Now, while those celebrities are 71, none of those are Canadian. For those of us who are 71 and Canadian, automatically your RSP converts to a RIF. There isn't too much you have to do, the investor has to do, your financial advisor or bank that holds your RSP. They know your age, they know your SIN number, and they should be talking with you a few months prior to the end of the year, October, November, and discuss the withdrawal options. Whether you want to take out money monthly, which is the most common, once a year, at the start of the year, at the end of the year, or middle, next January or December, or on your birthday. The bottom line, a minimum of about 5.3% of your RSP, your RIF, must be withdrawn next year. And that amount, that 5.3%, is calculated by the value of your RSP investment come December 31st. So let's say in November you had $95,000 in your RSP. Taking 5.3% out, that would be about $5,000 you have to withdraw in 2023. But by the end of the year, maybe that money moves up to $100,000. Then 5.3% would be $5,300, not $5,000 that has to come out. The minimum tax is 10%. That has to be remitted on your behalf to CRA to help you avoid any unpleasant tax surprises because this income now is taxable. And you can withdraw more. You can have more tax taken off. And those are things you discuss with your financial advisor prior to the start of January. Now, what to invest in? Let's have a look at what got you here. Good stocks, good funds, fixed income. Well, the past several years, certainly, if you've had good medium growth funds, the past 5 and 10 years, perhaps while you're in your 60s, you have done quite well. The past decade, returns of 8% per year were normal. Not on fixed income, not on GICs or savings. They were paying 0.0. But funds like your Fidelity and CI and Fidelity US and mid-cap Canadian and large-cap Canadian and even global, despite the sell-offs and slowdowns and the COVID recessions and the current inflation, the past decade, Canadian large-cap 6%, mid-cap 8%, and the US 10% annual returns. Now, you would continue that or add those funds if your returns were lower, and past performance does not guarantee future results. But quality funds recover quicker and perform better. You still need growth in your portfolio prior to age 75. Then after that, as you head towards your 80s, you need more retention, how to keep it once you get it. Now you could add some fixed income, an option, a portion. After years of 0.0 returns, finally, you can get a decent return, about 4.5% annual return, so make that sort of your bottom feeder, and the growth funds your major focus. And as you age, you adjust or balance based on both age and what the rates and markets are like, maybe 10 years from now in 2032 when you're in your 80s. And returns are key to your long-term financial health. That's the bottom line. It's the returns. If you're only 71, you've still got 20, 25 years left to go. The biggest fear is running out of money at age 83 and living poorly until 93. And one of the questions I get, or get asked a lot, how much should I have? Well, it all varies. We don't all end up with the same wealth or success. The average RSP by age 70 in Canada is $145,000. Not really enough, but that's the average for a 70-year-old RSP Canadian. The average net worth, Canadians by age 70, is $440,000. That's including your house and your retirement income. Some don't have any, so that's an average. What do I need to be comfortable in Canada, living modestly, comfortably? The number is $750,000 by age 70. It could be $250,000 investments, and you've just sold your $500,000 house, or some combination. And make sure as much of that total you have is tax-free. So $750,000 by age 70, 71, you withdraw 7% per year. That's $52,000 a year, $1,000 a week. And with an average return of 5%, so you're taking out 7 and making 5, that money should last you about 25 years. So if you were 65, that would take you to age 90. And of course, if you're 70 or 71, that should take you into your mid-90s. And you still have your CPP and OAS, maybe other pensions on top of that. So $750,000 with your house, it's not an impossible number. Some will be more, some need to be more, some want to be more to cover expenses or lifestyle, and many still are going to be less, and that's fine. We'll do the best we can with what we've got. If it's $180,000 total, we can make it work. The key in all of that is to stay invested. Be invested, stay invested. With all the negative news and headlines, sometimes it's challenging to keep focus on the long-term plan ahead. The next 5 years, and the 5 years after that, and so on. So with that, we're going to review some headlines of the past few decades, for those of us old enough to remember, reasons why you would think you should not invest, perhaps all the fear and headlines. We'll compare those headlines to the ones today, and we'll do that right after this break.
Knowing which investments that outperform and that are suitable to your goals and needs can be overwhelming. Understanding the advantages of growth segregated funds and or market linked indexes might have over balanced mutual funds could benefit your investments now and for estate planning later on. Diversifying part of your portfolio in private equity funds could have a significant impact on your retirement income on your Financial Destination show. We'll discuss these strategies and more to enhance your retirement income.
And we're back. So let's go back in time, Marty McFly, and all the reasons or possible headlines or events that could have prevented some of us from investing. So let's set the time machine for 50 years. Let's go back to 1972. In this case, let's warm up some easy ones. Let's do the Canada-Russia series, the summit series, and Paul Henderson scoring 3 game-winning goals as we beat the Soviet Union, as they were called, on their home ice, the summit series of 1972. Sticking with hockey, Guy Lafleur is about to enter the NHL as a rookie. And of course, Guy Lafleur passes away in 2022, 50 years later. In 1972, the average Canadian income was $10,340. $10,000. The highest paid baseball player in 1972, Carl Yastrzemski of the Red Sox, $167,000 per year. The average house price in Halifax in 1972 was $29,000. And in Toronto, it was only $34,000. Not a big spread back then between Halifax and Toronto back in 1972. Gas was 36 cents a gallon. That would be about 10 cents a liter. And no one even knew what a liter was in 1972. Now the headlines. Can you sort of guess the year? These are mostly U.S. headlines, but they were still global. So here's the 8 or 9 headlines that happened back in the 70s and 80s. Number one headline, steepest market drop in 40 years. What year was that? 1974. The oil embargo that happened in the fall of 73. 2 years later, in 1976, a headline read, economy recovers from the 73-74 crash. That's 1976. Gerald Ford is out, Jimmy Carter is in, Trudeau is prime minister, Joe Clark becomes leader of the PCs in 1976. 2 years later, in 1978, the big headline, interest rates rising. Also 1978, Bucky Dent, Homer's off Mike Torres. Interest rates rising in 1978. It's all going to end. Because in 1982, the headline was, worst recession in 40 years, a debt crisis. 1982. There were high rates. Interest rates were 19% and more on mortgages and car loans. Imagine going down to the Chevrolet store and getting a Pontiac Acadian and paying 19% interest on the bank loan. And unemployment was high. That was 1982, the worst recession in 40 years since back in the 30s. Now in the 80s, Ronald Reagan became president. He did some tax cuts and lowered some deficit. So the market took off. And in 1986, the market was high. Market high, said the headline. Market high. Big bang shockwaves. The market was high because then it crashed again in 1987, October, Black Monday. And the headline read in 1988, fear of recession after Black Monday. Now remember that day. In 1990, the headline read, Gulf War, worst market decline in 16 years since 1974. Well, that was the year that Iraq invaded Kuwait and the Gulf War began, 1990. In 1992, the headline read, elections, flat market. Markets took off, but in 1996, the Federal Reserve chairman at that time, Alan Greenspan, said two words that threw the markets off. He used the words irrational exuberance, meaning I think the market's a bit high right now, and boy, did it collapse. People listen to Jerome Powell and Alan Greenspan. The Federal Reserve, if they say any tone, any change of their tone, any words, the market can cause a rally or a correction just by what they say. And the final headline, 2000 and 2001, two headlines put together, the Y2K tech bubble. We were all going to collapse. The computers were going to fail in the year 2000. It couldn't roll over from 99. And the 9/11 bombings, the recession that happened, and the dot-com bubbles, it all fell drastically in 2001. But those are just 8 or 10 of the major headlines from the last quarter of the previous century. All kind of reasons not to invest. It's all going to come to an end. Worst it's ever been yet. Here we are. Baby boomers. The largest population, the largest net worth in history. Money inherited, money earned, in or heading towards retirement, wealth numbers that you could hardly imagine when you first started back in the 70s, today's income levels, the housing profits, the overall wealth that's out there. Some of the headlines, 1987, Black Monday, again, the market fell that day 26%. That was 1987. In 1990, the Persian Gulf, Canada, recession, markets fell 22%. You may not remember this one, but I do. In 1997, the Russian-Asian ruble financial crisis was August of 1997. Markets fell 28%. It happens globally. Again, 2000 and 2001, the dot-com collapse. Internet just started in 92, and all of a sudden these new websites were coming up, and you could be an instant millionaire. Many of those failed. And the markets fell 45%, coupled with the 9/11 bombings. Websites like Pets.com, Alta Vista was a search engine, eToys, and Globe.com, which were going to deliver food, failed. Many companies failed. Amazon struggled and just made it. Their shares were started off at $80 and down to $7 on Amazon. Today, an Amazon share is worth close to $2,900. It made it. Apple and Facebook weren't even out yet. 2007-2009, subprime mortgage crisis. Big, massive headline. Canada, worst recession, markets down 44%. That lasted 2 years. It's all over. Well, maybe not. 2011, European crisis. Remember Greece and Italy, those countries are there went bankrupt. Bankrupt countries. 2015, Chinese market crisis. 2015, the oil prices dropped in Western Canada, and a changed economy again as Harper was voted out, Trudeau voted in, Rachel Notley wins in Alberta. In 2015, it's the economy. In 2018, the market took another nosedive, not as big as the rest, pretty big, but 11% at the end of 2018. We've talked a lot about that one. And very recently, 2020, the COVID global pandemic, a 37% drop in just 2 months, the sharpest drop in the market since 1929. All the headlines. Similar today, all the reasons not to invest. Let's look at the results. Let's take a look at the last 20 years of all those headlines. If someone had started at zero back in 2001, say they're born in 1951, so now they would have turned about 50, and said, I've got to get serious on my RSP, I'm 50 already, and invested in the Canadian markets only, and put had zero, start putting $10,000 away in their RSP in 2001. Didn't falter, didn't guess, didn't try and time it. Instead of this, I'll wait until the markets go back up and then see what happens. No, you miss the upside. No. You just kept putting money away every year, $10,000 for 20 years. And you invested in the market, the very same market that gave you all these scary headlines. The return in the Canadian market has been over 7.5% per year. That $200,000 invested, compounded, is now worth over $460,000. Now, meanwhile, the GIC rates have averaged close to about 3.5%, and most of that was for the first 10 years. At 3.5%, your $200,000 is $288,000 compared to $460,000. Now, if you had some American funds, your returns would even be higher, despite the headlines then being similar to what they are today and similar to what they were back in the 70s. All kinds of reasons not to invest, but one really good reason to invest. You end up with more, lots more. You can't time it, and you can't wait for it. For again, with investments, there's no refund in lost time. By staying invested every day for the past 20 years, $10,000 a year, 7.5%, which was the Canadian index average again, that would lead you to $460,000. If you sat on the sidelines trying to choose when to go back in, trying to time it by missing five of the five best days in the market of the last 20 years, since 2001, over a 20-year span, that same return is only $286,000, not $460,000. Missing the best 10 days, all the upsurges, your $200,000 is worth $215,000. And missing the best 20 days of the past 20 years, your $200,000 investment would only be worth $140,000. Now, when markets go down, people often do the wrong and the opposite thing they should do. They panic and sell. What they should be doing is either buy more or ignore. I'm going to wait until the market goes back up. Well, you've already missed it. The ball is already in the catcher's mitt, and now you're thinking of taking a big rip at it. The ball's blown by you. It's a swing and a miss. So you can't time it, can't guess it. It's time in the market, not trying to time the market. That's the first key to successful retirement planning. Okay, we'll be back to wrap it up right after this.
Does it seem that after several years, you're just getting older and your investments are not doing any better? What should you be doing? Are there simple strategies to improve your retirement income that you weren't advised on, you missed out on, and wish to change? Stay tuned. Roger will cover these topics. At any time, email your questions to Roger at yourfinancialdestination.ca or call 902-499-5879.
And we're back. And while at age 71, there is not another 50 years ahead of you, there should be, though, 20, maybe 25. Whatever the time frame, there's probably no more new money coming in, no more new income, other than maybe the sale of your home. So we need to build growth. Then we need to retain it as we age, using what the market provides. Rates are low, more growth. Rates increase, a bit more fixed income. And choices from medium growth, SEG funds like your Fidelities and CIs, maybe low volatility funds as you pass age 75. The guaranteed market link, where you get the upside in the market with no loss of principal. And now even decent returns on GICs for those nearing 80 and beyond. And maybe even the money for life, where your funds never deplete. Options for you on the investment terrain, which sometimes halts or moves backward, but most times steams ahead and gains are made. So you want to invest with knowledge and confidence that will allow you to enhance your retirement income for the profitable times ahead. Stay on board. It's time. And with time, there's no refund on lost time. We thank you for listening in this morning. Hopefully you've gained something you can use to enhance your investments. We'll play the show again in a few weeks, probably again in early January. And in a few weeks, the show will be on my website, yourfinancialdestination.ca. So speak to your financial advisor. You can call me, 902-499-5879. I answer my calls. This is Roger Hamilton. Until next time, stay safe and stay invested.